Shalom. Revelation chapter 18. Revelation 18, since we are going through the feast here. Actually, the title of this message would be more, come out of her, my people, talking about the different denominations and the dilemmas that we are in church life around the world. Revelation 18, and after these things I saw another messenger come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his esteem, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Why do we still have unclean birds in the New Testament era? Must be that the dietary laws are still in effect. The office standards are just the same as they always were. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Oh, fornication is still bad? No, I thought that wasn't that done away with too? No? Guess not. The wine of the wrath of the fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. With who? Well, with Babylon, it said there in the verse 2. And who is that? Well, that's the great political, religious, economic system, the world system, the Babylonian system that we're in today. This program being recorded in the year 2010 during the Feast of Tabernacles, which is not the... we're not preaching about the feast today in this message. But because we're in the feast, we're studying the Word. But anyway, the merchants of the earth, those merchandising people of the earth, are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Why would merchants be waxed rich by a church or a Babylonian system? Well, maybe it was because there was a pagan tradition that came up once a year that was greater than all the holidays they called the greatest time of the year, which really wasn't. It was the dead of the winter that made everyone rich. Yeah, plus all of her other holidays, including Halloween, where people started in the middle of summer getting ready for that one, storing up. You couldn't go into a store without seeing a skeleton or a scary face. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Yes, all the different leaders of the countries are aligning these days in the UN and ganging up against Yahweh's people, against the nation of the Hebrews and the places to where the Hebrews have scattered to, England or UK, America or US. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Oh, I thought we were supposed to stay in these different churches. No, it says, come out of her, my people. I knew better than that, but come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and Yahweh has remembered her iniquities. What's that iniquity? What is that? That's law-breaking. Lawlessness, among other things. Reward her even as she rewarded you. Verse 7, how much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she said in her heart, I said as a queen, I am no widow, and I shall see no sorrow. I can think of a church that is licking her wounds and being healed now, and saying those things. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. Oh, that's good news. For strong is Yahweh, who judges her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication is still wrong here in the New Testament, and have lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city, that mighty city, Babylon, which they don't call it by that name, but that's what it is, Babylonian system. That mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come, and the merchants of the earth those you know, retailers out there in the big stores who are selling all of these holiday items, and which in themselves are, you know, maybe a tree is not intrinsically evil if they're selling a tree or someone's face, you know, different masks and stuff like that's not intrinsically evil, but the intent of promoting these holidays, that is wrong and sinful, as defined by Scripture, Jeremiah 10, for example. So the merchants shall weep and mourn over her. You know, they've lost their livelihood, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Oh, good. We're not going to buy any more of those stinking Christmas trees, those flock trees. Oh, they were so pretty. The merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones, and of pearls and fine linen. Probably a few Jewish people amongst us doing some of these things in here. Fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all. What's going on here with it? Oh, fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts, sheep, horses and chariots. SUVs? Not everyone who owns an SUV is an evil doer. So chariots and slaves, or bodies and souls of men, and the fruits that thy soul lusted after that are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand far off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Down in verse 22, the voice of harpers and musicians. You know, the station that everyone can agree on, right? Musicians. And you know, some of that music is so stupid, even some classical these days is just so vain. There's just nothing, no fiber to it. Musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more in all in thee. Well, some of that music was good, but they shall be heard no more. No craftsman of whatever craft he shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. So all that is going to stop. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride. So that's the assembly, that's you. Hopefully me. And the voice of the bridegroom. No, I know I'm saved. And I just wanted to heckle some of those Baptists out there. And of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants. Well, I mean, some of those Baptists could put the Messianics to shame in some of their strong preaching. Where is the power in the blood and the repentance? No more, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. It's going to be future. Some of these things are coming. Revelation 20, verse 8. They shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth. And finishing that chapter, and in here was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. There will be some bloodshed. Some heads will roll, but not everyone. It's not going to happen to everybody. Referring to my notes when I say, But it's time to give Yahweh some time. Give him more than just 45 minutes a week or 15 minutes a day for study. Well, you know, that may be that you can only do 15 minutes of study during a weekday, but he wants the Sabbath. That's the big issue there. And we're still aligned with Rome is the bigger problem. We're still aligned with Rome if we are keeping the venerable day of the sun and the edict of Constantine and those popish leaders out there through the dark ages and up to this very time are still dictating on what day of the week that man is to keep holy according to them. And mean, just you know, and of course they set apart a holiday. People make a lot of money off of those holidays, but we are to reject everything that this vain Babylonian religion has taught us. That is contrary to the word. I mean, there's some truth in there too, of course. They didn't throw in some truth, a little here and a little there, then all of us would have not been deceived. Because we'd say, well, that's too far-fetched. That's way out. We can't believe any of that. None of it is true. But on the contrary, that a lot of it was true, so we're not going to reject everything. So I'll take that back. But I would obey Mary's command to do whatever the Messiah tells us to do. That's the only command that made any good sense there, is to obey the command to obey whatever the Messiah, whatever Miriam's son, at least he was her son at that time before he died, we are to obey him. He is the Word, Yahweh HaMashiach, the Messiah, gave us the Word. And so we need to keep striving to be perfect, even as our Heavenly Father is perfect, as the Messiah taught us there in the wonderful Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. We're not going to sit around and say, well, I'm not even going to try, because after all, the Christian radio station over there in my town says that no one can keep the Torah perfectly, so why would we even try? But Nehemiah 8 shows that they didn't have to try, that Yahweh's righteousness was just given to them. And they found the book of the law and read it and started doing those things. It just became a way of life, a halakha, a walk. Contrary to how some of these churches these days, and not only these days, but looking back like 50, 60 years, teaching us horrendous things, and some of the people in the pews anyway, encouraging abominations to be committed. Recently, go to Romans 10:9, and in regards to salvation, and especially during this feast day, how are you saved? You're saved by Yahweh's death, burial, and resurrection. 10:9 says, with a heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with a mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So we're going to be vocal about it, that we are saved by the Messiah. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of Yahweh shall be saved. And then 10:17, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yahweh. And starting there in verse 14, 10:14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the evangel of shalom, of peace, and bring good tidings, glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the evangel. For Isaiah said, Yahweh, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yahweh. Faith doesn't come by impressions and circumstances. We drive down the road, and we show up, and then this guy shows up behind us, and he said, here I am. And I said, well, how'd you know I was here? And he says, well, the Lord told me to go down there. I think he was hanging out in the alley until I drove by, and no Lord or no Yahweh or anybody taught him to. Faith comes by hearing and reading the Word and studying the Word, not by by these impressions and circumstances going on around us. Well, one circumstance is creation. So I guess, we could look at creation and say that Yahweh is real, because we know no piece of dust out there or slime could have created that, nor university professor. Nobody could have created him We reckon the new year according to Scripture, Exodus 10, in the beginning of your months, not by the Roman system of the middle of the dead of the winter, the dead of the, you know, dead of the night, dead of the winter thing. That's when they have their drunken New Year. And, you know, when things are dead. But when Yahweh reckons, he wants us to reckon his New Year when things are alive and coming out fresh. It's beautiful. People commonly call that time spring, but we don't. We just go by the two seasons that Yahweh has established for us. And they can still cry, well, there is no sin, there is no thing as sin, there's no thing as the law, but Yahweh's word is still standing today and telling us that his law is in effect. So we must praise him and obey him. Don't want to be like the others out there building their Tower of Babel, the tower builders. We want to be more like the mountain people who have our eyes looking up. Looking up, waiting for Yahweh's second coming, for the Messiah to be coming in the clouds and gather his elect together. You know, whether we're sleeping in the dust of the earth and the slime of the earth there and get resurrected, or whether we were still alive at that time, perhaps in 20 or 30 years from now. But the rest of the guys are out there, they're in big trouble because Yahweh is not going to grade on the curve. His absolute standards are found in his Torah and his law from Genesis to the Revelation, actually. And we see Yahweh's name in people, actually. We see the suffix Yah, like, for example, the woman's name Sylvia, in the countries such as Yugoslavia. We can see Yahweh's marks everywhere. A lot of things that we did before we were saved, but that was before we knew Yahweh. You know, I could go back and tell you that I confessed that I actually went to Japan, and I was going up to some national park up there. No, it wasn't Karizawa, but anyway, and I actually had a bowl of shrimp soup, but that was an abomination. I didn't know it. I didn't care. In fact, I wouldn't have cared even after I became a so-called Christian until I heard the word by faith. I grew and learned that Yahweh has standards, absolute standards. Absolutely what we eat, what we consume, what goes in will be manifested in our spirit. We're not going to live by the exceptions and give up and say, well, don't even try, and the end justifies the means. We are in big trouble if we think that. Because we need to set apart Yahweh's name and his set feasts, not be sloppy and say, well, we're just going to go down to this church here in the corner that believes homosexuality is okay, and we'll call his resurrection by the pagan goddess of Easter or Ashtoreth. We'll celebrate Hallow's Eve, and we'll give Yahweh in the meantime a little token. We'll come up with a substitute, a nice Protestant festival called Harvest Festival. During the, you know, the Druids, or Sanhim, the worst time of the year, talking about, you know, murdering people and children and all that blood and guts and all that. But we'll dress it up and we'll just Christianize it and call it the Harvest Festival. And bring out the skeletons and the pumpkins and the dumb-looking masks and faces and costumes, and go door-to-door and beg people for candy. You know, I could use a few treats, but I'm not going to go out begging door to door with dressed up like a devil or something. So it's important to reject those old pagan traditions. Are we being serious, or is it just to play games, just to kind of have club and elect leaders and say, oh, I love Yahweh, I love the truth, I love everybody, I observe the first and second commandments, summarizing all the commandments? Let's become serious and be covered by the counsel, by the words, yeah, not only the text, but by the intent and every line of scripture, here a little, there a little, and then we can help others. Preaching to me is not going to bother anything. If I turn on the television and I saw a great preacher on there who was strong in the law preaching against sin, I would not turn that off. I don't care what denomination he belonged to. If he were preaching against sin and immorality and the Laodicean lackadaisical way of sitting around watching any kind of soap opera program, I would want to be discouraged from doing that and encouraged to follow Yahweh's lifestyle. So just because somebody belongs to a different denomination than I do doesn't necessarily stop me if he's a good preacher. If he's preaching the word, I want to hear more. Preach it, brother, preach it.